From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. I'm Abby Larico. Sunday afternoon, President Joe Biden upended the 2024 election as we've known it so far by announcing he's ending his campaign for a second term. We talked to local lawmakers, party leaders, and voters about how they're feeling and their plans moving forward.
I think everybody gets how high the stakes are.
Plus, eight Republicans are running to become Missouri's next Secretary of State. That high number due in part to Senate President Pro Tem Caleb Rowden dropping out of the race in March.
His departure kind of opened up an avenue for some that seemed like the opening that they were maybe looking for.
St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg breaks down the Republican primary for Secretary of State. That plus other local and regional news for this Monday, July 22nd. Local lawmakers are responding largely along party lines to the news of the end of President Biden's campaign and his endorsement of Vice President Kamala Harris. St. Louis Mayor Democrat Tashara Jones posted a statement celebrating work she says has, quote, delivered tangible results for city residents, like the American Rescue Plan Act. She added her support for Vice President Harris. U.S. Representatives Cori Bush and Emanuel Cleaver also backed Harris, as did numerous other Missouri Democratic elected officials. St. Louis Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard says that Harris could provide a burst of energy for Missouri Democrats.
We all need to galvanize behind her. It's not an or, it's an and thing. All of us rising together with this black woman at the top of the ticket.
St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has more now on how Harris could affect Missouri Democrat chances.
President Joe Biden endorsed Harris immediately after he bowed out of the race. And the vice president also received backing from Congresswoman Cori Bush, who says Harris could energize younger voters.
She is able to pick up the torch and go.
While few expect Harris to turn Missouri blue, Alderwoman Alicia Saunier says she could help Missouri Democrats, especially if Missourians vote on a ballot measure to legalize abortion.
She certainly helps the things that Missouri Democrats are fighting for right now, and I think that she helps to unify the party.
Democrats have about a month to figure out their presidential situation before their national convention in Chicago. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Russ Carnahan chairs Missouri's Democratic Party. He says Harris is the practical choice to mobilize voters, especially in the face of a unified GOP.
I think everybody gets how high the stakes are. And I think Democrats are ready to go on offense to really point out those vast differences and what the future of our country is going to look like, you know, between those two visions.
Illinois' Democratic U.S. Senators Tammy Duckworth and Dick Durbin issued statements thanking the president for his public service, both emphasizing the importance of party unity to defeat Donald Trump, but neither endorsed a candidate. No other Democrats have stepped forward to run, though Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is often mentioned as a potential vice president for Harris. Some Republicans, meantime, are urging the president to step away not just from the campaign trail, but the Oval Office. Representatives Mike Bost and Mary Miller of Illinois and Missouri Senators Josh Hawley and Eric Schmidt all posted statements questioning Biden's ability to do the job for the remainder of his term. Voters are also reacting to the end of President Biden's campaign less than 4 months before the general election. And we heard mixed reaction, mostly relief, but some skepticism over what comes next. Austin Carnes is a Creve Coeur resident who identifies as politically independent. He says the end of Biden's campaign felt inevitable after his poor debate performance last month. But after the show of unity at the Republican National Convention last week, he says the move feels especially consequential.
The pressure for him to drop out should have happened, 2 years ago. I think if that was going to happen, that's when it was need to happen. But now, with the Republican Party so unified, I think that, 4 months before the election is way too late.
Rodney Williams is a South City resident who says he's voted for both Trump and Biden. He says he wanted the president to end his campaign after recent public stumbles, but with the election now so close, he says he doubts the party's ability to effectively mobilize around a new candidate, even Vice President Harris.
I think that the Democratic Party is going to have a major problem because you don't have too long before the election, and you need to have somebody who's comparable to stand and run, but have the votes of the people at the same time.
Central West End resident Natavi Larry says this could actually be a good thing for Democrats, who can take the opportunity to re-examine policies that Larry wishes were more progressive.
Maybe connect more with the voters, because I feel like right now their option that they're choosing is to just kind of lean on the fact that the opposition is so much worse and just kind of bank on that.
But Larry says they're not convinced that Vice President Harris is the person to do that, and they're willing to stay home in November if none of the options on the ballot match their ideology. All three of those people you just heard from spoke to St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz Sunday afternoon. Now, in other news, because yes, there is other news today, the pocketbooks of the dairy industry and everyday consumers have not felt the impact of bird flu on their milk, at least not yet. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, so far the outbreak in dairy cattle has been fairly contained.
13 states in the U.S. have reported avian influenza in dairy cows. Cattle on about 160 dairy farms have tested positive so far. But that's just a drop in the bucket of total dairies in the country, which tallies about 25,000. While individual farmers have taken cows out of their rotation, the impact on the dairy industry has been minimal, says University of Wisconsin ag economics professor Chuck Nicholson.
With any kind of epidemiological situation that we have going on, the future can be quite uncertain. So it's something that we need to keep a close eye on, but for the moment, we don't see any major shifts.
Nicholson says that could change, but the bird flu outbreak would have to get much worse. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis is dominated by cars, as they're the main mode of transportation for most residents of the region. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports city leaders are looking to make alternatives more attractive through investments in street redesigns and transit.
Nearly 70% of workers in St. Louis drive to work by themselves in their own vehicle, according to American Community Survey data. But that doesn't mean driving is everyone's preferred way of moving through the city. Taylor March is the executive director for Missourians for Responsible Transportation.
People like want to know, like, what's a safe way to get from A to B? Sometimes I'll draw them a map, and sometimes, unfortunately, I have to say, well, right now, there's just not a safe way.
March says many neighborhoods have safe streets to ride a bicycle on, but crossing over or using major roads like Grand or Kings Highway doesn't feel as safe. The city plans to use some $46 million in American Rescue Plan Act funding to revamp those roads and others to make them easier for cycling, transit, and pedestrian use. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
People in the St. Louis region are being asked to share what they love and what they would improve about where they live. East-West Gateway Council of Governments is seeking responses to a survey. They will be included in the Where We Stand report, analyzing how St. Louis compares to similar regions around the country. The data comes out every 5 years or so and helps determine local government goals and projects. Spokesperson Nancy Cambria says it's an opportunity for communities to put political differences aside and focus on what affects them locally.
Perhaps we're getting stuck in arguments that are very systemic nationwide. And what can we find that we can really channel as uniquely our own, both as an asset or areas that we can address?
The survey is open through the end of the month. You can find a link to complete it at stlpr.org. And back to politics. There's a crowded Republican field seeking to be Missouri's next Secretary of State. With about 3 weeks left until the August primary, St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum spoke with State House and politics reporter Sarah Kellogg about the race, including why there are so many candidates.
Sarah, there are 8 Republicans seeking to become Missouri's next Secretary of State. Can you tell us who they are?
Yeah, so we're going to go alphabetically. We have Wentzville Municipal Judge Mike Carter, State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, St. Louis County resident and political strategist Jamie Corley, St. Louis resident Valentina Gomez, State Senator Denny Hoskins, Speaker of the House Dean Plocker, Greene County Clerk Shane Scholler, and State Representative Adam Schwadron. And I also want to add that on the Democratic side, House Representative Barbara Pfeiffer is the most well-known Democrat who filed for that position.
So during the beginning of the filing period, there were 4 candidates running, but by the end of it, really in the last couple of days of the filing period, four more people threw their hat into the ring, with some like State Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman and House Speaker Dean Plonker even switching races. Why was there this last-minute switch?
So I believe that this can be traced back to a different candidate that is no longer in the race, which is State Senate President Pro Tem Caleb Rowden. And Rowden was running for the position, but then in March, he declared that he was dropping out of the race. And several candidates that we've spoken to, like Corley and Plonker, said that Rowden dropping out was a factor for them and that his departure kind of opened up an avenue for some that seemed like the opening that they were maybe looking for.
So in this really crowded race, what are the central issues that candidates are seizing on?
I would say that many of the candidates have made the topic of non-citizens voting in Missouri elections to be a major sticking point in their campaign. I also, you know, before we get into that, I want to say it's already against the law in Missouri to vote if you are not a U.S. citizen. But state lawmakers this past year passed a proposed constitutional amendment that bans non-citizens from voting. Now, that will appear on the ballot and has to be passed by voters to go into effect. But, you know, that issue has definitely spilled over into the Secretary of State's race. In interviews with the candidates, both Coleman and Plonker have made those points cornerstones of their campaigns, and that's really an issue that I would say that all the Republicans kind of agree on there.
One issue that's generated a variety of opinions is whether Missouri should make it harder to amend its constitution. Where do the candidates stand on this?
This particular issue has less of a united front than some others, and this topic has really been up front and center the last couple of years, mainly because the legislature has failed to put a proposed amendment on the ballot that would make it harder to amend the constitution in the last few sessions. Majority of the candidates do want it to be harder to amend the constitution. However, there are some other opinions from some of the candidates. Shane Scholer, for example, says he's in favor of small constitutions, but that this issue has pretty much already been settled and that voters won't want that power to be taken away from them and they're not going to vote for it. They want to be able to pass things through the initiative petition process. And unlike some of her fellow candidates, Corley doesn't want to make that process harder. So the issue doesn't have unanimous agreement there.
And something that also doesn't have unanimous agreement is hand counting ballots during elections. There has been a push from conservatives to hand count paper ballots. What did the candidates think about this?
Most candidates are not in favor of this idea. Hoskins, who introduced a bill this past session that would have required the hand counting of ballots, is definitely an advocate of it, but he is outnumbered on this. Many are fine with the current process of using machines that are not connected to the internet and hand counting in situations like audits or recounts, not the entire ballot during an election, with many saying that would just take too much time. And, you know, human error is a thing. So that was definitely more not in favor of it than for.
Sarah Kellogg is St. Louis Public Radio State House and politics reporter. Sarah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Sarah was speaking with our Jason Rosenbaum. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. You can read more primary election coverage at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this has been The Gateway.